from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Try peanut butter eggs.
It's chicken.
What?
You got another thing coming. Rock it to the dog.
Megan Rapinoe.
Finally, but not last.
Gloria.
I'm glad you wanted to have that rap. I saw the fool who would never got past number one. Anyway.
Come on, Bourbon.
What up?
Hondo P.
Unwelcome sight in the neighborhood. A developer is being greedy.
I just have always preferred the white. I wish I could have more white things. The color white to me just always works.
Could you mix in a black?
I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
Oh, yeah, they signed that brown guy, and then I went right past him.
Pleased to have you along. It's a club hour.
Uncomfortable as always.
That's what we do. I'm going to get rid of all the women. I'm going to get rid of all the black guys. What was that in?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's all problematic.
I ate ass.
Yeah, you did.
Come on.
Yeah,
For
you
Pete's
did.
Pete's sakes.
God, we're so gross. Why do they even let us do a show? Andrew Nemec's out there hustling. I see him through the window. He's working real hard. He's banging on his computer, making calls, getting kids on the show, doing his recruiting stuff. And we're in here playing that crap.
Wearing his Crocs.
Being
Crocs with socks.
Unprofessional.
I didn't know Crocs. I thought Crocs were a barefoot sort of thing.
They can be either. You know how like kids wear like slide sandals with socks sometimes these days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the kids wear zany socks now. You're nothing if you don't have zany socks.
I do like a good sock game, but only if I'm wearing like...
Do you have zany socks though? Like with, you know, like with chickens and stuff on them?
I have some zany. I don't know how zany.
Or little martinis.
I've got ones with like little pineapples on them.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's zany.
Yeah, I got some stuff with that.
You're zany.
Normally I just go with some good striped socks. I find like if you wear like a nice pair of sneakers... Like an Air Force One or like some Stan Smiths or something, like a clean sneaker. You throw on some stripy socks. It gives them a nice little punch. It's a nice little element to it.
Well, we've got big Southwest Airlines news.
Yeah, we just got done talking about Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. Southwest Airlines is shifting to assigned seating for the first time in its history.
Yeah. Wasn't that their whole gig?
Yes, that was their whole bit.
That was the whole thing. Now why do you fly them?
Well, it's a good question. Although, I guess they're just saying that, were they saying that without an assigned seat, it's cheaper? Is that what they were saying?
It seems like that was the thing. It's like, I don't know, it's like low prices, and it's like you can sit wherever you want.
Before the seating systems and so the selection system got so robust, it was an expensive thing to be able to have to facilitate. And they're like, it's way easier if we just issue it this way, and it's cheaper. And now they're like, computers are pretty good. It's probably pretty cheap to do this now.
So Southwest said customers were clamoring for the changes. When people switched to a competitor from Southwest, the company said the number one reason they would cite is open seating.
Yeah. We talked about this the other day. I don't fly Southwest because they're not on any of the search engines, and I just never think to go to Southwest. And I also don't feel like they have a lot of good nonstop flights. It's just not my jam.
They've gone south.
Yeah. I used to fly Southwest, and now I couldn't tell you the last time I got on a Southwest plane. It's probably been a decade. But my main reason is that I hate having to check in early, or it drives me crazy. And like line up, I am a late arriver to the airport. I usually the last one on the airplane. And I just love knowing that when I get there, my little seat, I'm not in the first 10 rows, my seat in 26F, it's there for me. And you take that away from me, and there's a possibility of me getting a middle seat, kiss my ass. I'm not buying your ticket.
So the big thing here is that a lot of the shareholders of Southwest are like, hey, you need to grow your profits. Isn't that shocking?
Yeah, I know.
That people in the boardroom are like, hey.
I love when a company makes like $8 billion. Yeah. And they're like, horse crap! We need 9!
Yeah, exactly. So they are under pressure from their investors to grow in profitability. And the thing where they really lack, where they fall behind, is the Uniteds and the American Airlines and the Deltas of the world, they get primo dollar premium seating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not the whole airplane, but it's enough of the airplane that just right there, Southwest has to go to assigned seats because they have to charge more for the good ones.
Yeah, because if you want a good seat on an airplane, like on a United flight, for an exit row or extra leg room, it's like 60 extra bucks. And if you want the Premier Plus or whatever, not first class, dude, that can be a couple. That can be like an extra 150 to 175. And yeah, when you do a free-for-all sort of thing, yeah, I can see where that's, you know, that's a bugaboo.
They used to be the most profitable airline in the United States.
Southwest?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
That is no longer the case.
Yeah. Well, and again,
they're way down.
That was never a thing because you got to hustle to get the best seat. And I will just never be first in line for anything. It's like Black Friday deals or whatever. I just can't think of anything that is worth me fighting to be first. I do not like having to compete for anything
like
that.
Well, you don't really have to compete. I mean, like, if you get even in the high Bs,
yeah,
you're getting a fine seat.
Yeah.
You're just not getting...
You're not getting the exit row or like the first row. And you know.
Their attendants joke that if you get a C, it's for center seat. Like A, B, and C groups, but if you have A or B, you're fine.
Yeah, do the early bird check in. My flight's on Southwest tomorrow.
Yeah,
and I did the early bird check in. I'm A20, and I'm feeling great about it.
And you paid for that though.
$15.
$15,
but $15.
But you feel good about A20.
Yeah, because
you'll have your choice of window or aisle.
The flight's early in the morning, so I would have had to gotten up this morning and checked in order to try to get on A. And you never get on A. You always get on B if you do that.
I still want to see if would Southwest honor my arm sling. could I be in group F and then just wear my arm sling and all of a sudden I'm group A?
Well, there's only A, B, and C on Southwest.
Yeah, that's all.
There.
C is the FU.
That's right.
All right. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. When are these changes taking effect?
They said they haven't said. They will not say.
I wonder, like, if people are going to be outraged. Will this cause more of a loss to Southwest, who already has a terrible reputation?
Well, they're saying 80% of their customers want it.
They want it, huh?
So, About time.
All right.
Their planes are kind of rickety, too. Like, I feel like they're just kind of tired and old.
They're all from an old fleet, and they haven't upgraded them.
And they look stupid with their colors, you know?
And don't their flight attendants do bits?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do songs or poems or raps.
Yeah. They have, they have
very cheeky
little jokes in there.
It's not for me.
And everybody laughs.
But they don't charge for bags.
And then they clap when the plane lands.
Wait, they do?
I do.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Will you tomorrow when you land in Pebble Beach?
I might. I just might.
Yeah, Southwest isn't for me. Maybe the new Southwest, well, but I'm out.
I also think Southwest used to have way better fares, like prices.
Yeah.
I don't.
This happens to me.
It's not really the case anymore.
Dude, this happens to me all the time, where I'll see an ad for like a Southwest deal, right?
$89.99.
And then I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, maybe I should look. And I'll go on there, and it's never $89.99.
No.
Or the flight that is $89, you know, it's like
11:35 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Going to San Antonio.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm trying to get to Denver, and they're like, you have to go to Salt Lake three times. You're like, what? Huh? Like, I don't just shut up and go to Salt Lake three times, and we'll get you to Denver.
I like when they do the thing where they're like, yeah, it's really cheap, but you're actually going to have to overshoot your location and then fly back.
Yeah.
You know, like, to get to Phoenix, you got to fly to Dallas first.
I will tell you, that also is something that I can't stand. On principle alone, I won't do it.
What?
Where you have to overshoot by, like, two states, what Buck's saying. Like, if you're flying to Dallas, but they tell you you're going to fly into New Orleans, and then from New Orleans to Dallas, you're like, what? What? Oh, I'm not flying by my destination city for 2 hours.
It's not efficient enough for
you. Nope, I'm out. I'm out. Can't handle it. No good. Unless it's $89, and it never is $89.
Yeah, ever. They should make those cheaper.
Exactly. Well, whenever I look at flights, the most inconvenient flight is always the most expensive flight. It's the weirdest thing. Like, it makes no sense to me when you look at these flights, and there'll be one that's like, you know, it'll be like a 12-hour flight someplace far away. And you're like, all right, you know, that's, you know, it's $1,000 or whatever. And then you see one, and it's a one stop. And then you see one that's like two stops, and it's like 28 hours, and it's like $1,700. And I'm like, what? How? Why would anyone?
It's just demand, right?
Why would anyone choose that flight?
No.
It makes no sense to me. I was doing that. My son's in Vietnam right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so we were looking at flights, you know, to there and back, because he's actually flying back from Korea. But so we bought a one-way ticket. We bought here to Vietnam, and then from he got a little small flight from there to Korea and Korea back here. And I'm telling you, the flights back home, there was one that was like, you know, like 14 hours. There's one stop like in Vancouver or something, you know, Canada. And it was, you know, as I said, it was like $1,000. And there were other ones that stopped in like a different, like two different countries that spanned the better part of 24 hours. And they were almost twice as expensive. And this happens to me all the time. And I will never understand why those are even options. Does someone just want to be on an airplane for 30 hours? Is like, you just rack up miles? Or is it one of those where you're like, hey, I'd really like to see this airport for a 2.5 hour layover? It's bonkers to me.
Yeah, it's weird. Not sure. Well, anyway, they're going to assigned seats on Southwest Airlines, guys.
Still not going to fly it, but for those that you do, I don't know.
It's finally here.
Kick ass.
All right, up next. How hard is it to rip the head off of a seagull? Dad talk. It's 6:18 on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, I need Airline Bro to explain this to me. So I wanted to double check this. So my son will fly back first week in August from Seoul back to Portland.
Yeah.
So I got him on a...
What's he doing? Just partying?
His sister lives in Korea, so she's going to Vietnam just for vacation, and he's going to meet her in Vietnam. They're going to hang out in Vietnam for a week or 10 days, then he'll go back to Korea with her. He'll hang out in Korea with her for a week, and then he's just coming home. So
hot.
Yeah. So she was going on vacation, was like, hey, do you want to come with? And he's like, yeah, let's go to Vietnam.
True story.
So to fly him back from Korea, one stop, so it's here direct to Seattle, and then a little layover, 45 minutes or whatever, and then you catch a Horizon shuttle, you're done.
How long's that flight?
12 and a half hours.
Okay.
12 and a half hours. So, and that's total. 12 and a half hours total flight. And it was just under a grand. So, $998.
That's not bad.
Yeah, one way. Like, I'll take that, right?
Mind that.
So, this is my point. Same day. And that is, that's Air Canada. And,
By the way, Air Canada sucks.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. But it's actually Air Canada. It's operated by Delta, so...
I know, but it sucks.
It sucks?
Yeah. It's kind of a low-budgy airline.
So, here we go. So, this is... same thing. Delta, Air Canada operated by Delta. So, this one, though, has two stops. And get this. Direct to Seattle. Seattle... to Salt Lake City.
Nah.
Salt Lake City.
Come on.
To Portland. And that will run you 19 hours as opposed to the 12, 18 and some change. So almost 19 hours.
Stupid.
And that plane ticket, $1,875.
Double.
Why? Why would anyone, and I mean anyone, buy that flight? You're trying to get to Portland, but you go to Seattle. Like, and Salt Lake, unless you are like, hey, I really need to get to Seattle for, 2 hours and 40 minutes, and then Salt Lake for 30 minutes.
Could it be that it's just the people going to Salt Lake that are driving up the price? Right? Like, they're on that flight, and so it's in high demand because a lot more people going there than Portland. So, you know what I mean? Is that why?
I don't know. But if I tried going from Seoul to Salt Lake, wouldn't there be a better flight?
Well, have you tried that?
No.
Let's send him to Salt Lake.
Because it's just... Because it's
cheaper, and then tell him to get his ass home somehow.
It's just so bizarre to me. You want to talk about an indirect route, Seattle to Salt Lake to Portland? The Seattle flight's only 30 minutes. Why are we in Salt Lake?
Yeah. I can't answer that.
And
I see
this all the time when I book flights, and it never makes any sense to me why people do that. None. Unless you said, like, there's some weird Salt Lake bros.
It has to be some demand of getting people to Salt Lake and then adding more people onto that flight, like filling it up. But at the same time, I don't understand why it costs more, though. That I don't get that part.
Well, because it's in higher demand. That's the easy part. Look, whether you believe it or not,
in Portland, why is that in higher demand?
There's probably more people going from Salt Lake to Portland that you have to buy. Like, you have to buy those seats. They're driving up the. Don't they use dynamic pricing? Right.
I don't know.
So those seats are more expensive because there's more people that want to take it. Right.
Just seemed an odd. Because when I search to get to Portland, that flight comes up on the search engine. And I don't understand why it's on the search engine. Because under no circumstances would anyone trying to go from Seoul to Portland, there is not a person on earth that would choose that flight. And yet it's there. Because again, remember, that flight isn't getting to Salt Lake. That flight is getting to Portland.
Deals in on the Vancouver 4 text line. He says, my wife once went from Portland to Atlanta back to Dallas. So the idea was going from Portland to Dallas. She had to go to Atlanta first.
Dude, that's wild. But it is going to Salt. But see, the thing is, I think, and I may be wrong about this, I'm just spitballing here.
Someone from the airlines has to be listening to shed some light on this.
I think the Salt Lake to Portland leg is going to have people that are just in Salt Lake.
Just going to Salt Lake.
And that, not going to, they're going to Portland from Salt Lake. Mm. In other words, that's a very popular leg.
And so is Seattle to Salt Lake.
Exactly. And so that drives up the price. Mm. That's what I think.
Maybe. Yeah, that has to be the... So just, you're screwed if you're trying to go to Salt Lake.
Yeah, like, for example, if it flew through... instead of Salt Lake, it flew through, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a less popular...
Yeah, someone who say Salt Lake is a Delta hub, thus more competition. So that it's everyone's trying to get to Salt Lake because then from Salt Lake you get other places, so you just get screwed.
Well, I think once you land in Salt Lake, you now have a lot of people who want to fly to Portland, and that's why the price is higher. And then in Seattle, you have a lot of people that want to get to Salt Lake, and that's why the price is higher.
Maybe.
And then all encompassing, it's $1,800.
But also, I would feel like you'd have plenty of people in Seattle that wanted to fly to Portland, and wouldn't even have to worry about Salt Lake.
But that's where I think there's a lot of Seattle to Portland flights, aren't there? Like, I think they can, that's such a common thing.
Yeah, okay.
That I feel like that's cheaper because it's 30 minutes and there's a million of them.
But here's another. So I did the search from Seoul to Salt Lake, and for $1,300 and some change, so I guess closer to $14, I can get from Seoul to Salt Lake and I only have to stop in San Francisco. So
$1,300, we're going... Seoul.
$1,400, basically. $1,300 and some change.
Yep. Seoul, San Fran, Salt Lake?
Salt Lake.
Okay, but then add Portland. And I bet it jacks up.
Yeah, but again, we're just saying if I was trying to fly from Seoul to Salt Lake, why would I, again, take that horse crap flight when I can just take this one? I still don't get the weird multi-stop. They're always more expensive and the most inconvenient flight possible. And it's always double the price.
Yeah, so that one's cheaper. So if you're actually going to Salt Lake, that one's cheaper, but you fly through San Francisco and not Seattle.
Not Seattle.
But it's also...
Flight news just frightens me.
But wait, but you've also added... That's not a good comp because you have the Portland leg, the fourth leg, that is not on that other flight.
No.
So that's why it's cheaper.
Yeah, I guess... Here's one where you can go to Tokyo and then to Toronto and then to Salt Lake for some unknown reason. Yeah. Yeah, you fly from Seoul.
Well, we're getting no answers.
No, there is no answer. I just think that the airlines make S up. I think they're just effing with you at that point. They're like, go ahead, pick this flight. Like when the good flights run out, that's your only other option. Yeah, you want to get home? Yeah.
I feel like my brain is breaking thinking about it. Maybe that's what they want.
Look, the airlines all suck. Can we admit that?
Yeah.
The airlines all suck.
There's not a good
suck.
One among them.
No, there's not.
They're all a bunch of bitches.
Pretty much. And they all make a gajillion dollars and then they try to squeeze another penny out of you. I never want to hear about an airline that cries poor. They're all just swimming in money. Because
they'll tell you it costs so much to run everything.
Oh, boo-hoo. We play the fun game of what the CEO of every airline makes. So something tells me they're doing just fine.
Freaking punch it, bitch! All right, let's talk about biting the heads off. No, tearing.
Ripping. Yeah, that was biting.
Tipping. God. ripping the heads off of animals. I'm going to kick your ass, you little bitch.
The Delta CEO made $36 million last year. Get bent.
Well, Delta made a lot of big decisions.
I got the list. American Airlines, $31 million. United Airlines, $18
million. Wow, United guys, a steal.
Good value there.
Probably a woman.
Wow.
What?
Scott that's, Kirby.
That's just truth. It's gender inequity.
Southwest CEO earns $9.3 million.
There's your bargain. Except he's running that airline into the ground.
Oh, but look at this.
He or she. Yeah.
Okay, the Delta Airlines CEO, he makes $34.2 million. This was in 2023, last year, full year. The year before, $9.6 million.
Huh? What did he get?
All these people. Okay, American Airlines, in 2022, he was making $4.8 million, then $31.4 the next year. United, $9.8 million in 2022, $18.6 the next year. Southwest, $5.3 million in 2022, $9.3 the next year. They're all doubling their salaries in 12 months.
Cool. Way to go.
Airlines. Probably all that PPP money.
Freaking airlines. That's it. I'm taking a train everywhere I go now. I'm going to train down to Pebble Beach.
You can't trust them. You can't
Good
trust
to be
airlines.
Ed Bastion.
You can't trust insurance companies. You can't trust the government. You can't trust anything. The only thing you can trust is us.
That's right. We don't lie to you, as far as you know.
All right, yeah, let's talk about ripping the heads off of animals. Next, here's Buck.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
We've lost Rob. He may already be at Pebble Beach. Oh, there he is.
That'd be a little kid ass.
Well, he's only got like 20 minutes left before he's officially on vacation.
So how far up your ass is your head?
That's a valid point.
My head is so far up my ass.
Don't get me wrong, I like the tatted up whore too.
I do. Hi.
Hi.
I was talking to Nemec.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Andrew Nemec. He's a nice guy. He is.
I'm not doubting it.
Nice young man.
Yes, he is. I don't think he's that young anymore.
I don't know, he always seems so sad to me.
He does seem to have a lot going on.
There's a sadness to him.
Well, every time I talk to him, there's always he's got drama.
He's always like, hey.
Well, he's got that Swaggart thing going on, so. Maybe him and Swag should get together and, like, have
Hold
beers.
Hold on, everybody.
And they can both do deep sighs.
Well, he's being cheered up right now by the great Luke Anderson, who just got back from a run because he's training for Hood to Coast.
Yeah, Luke's got, like, a Bill Walton thing happening for himself right now.
Yeah, he looks like a hippie.
Did he go headband? Is he headband?
Yeah, he's going headband.
He goes headband. He's got the long hair and the beard. And yeah, we got a Hood to Coast
team. It's a who's who out there.
Yeah. Where's the Isaac Rupp Hood to Coast?
You will never catch me dead running that race.
Oops, you almost had one there.
That stuff, running that race.
Didn't you used to run?
No. Oh,
I
run, yeah, yeah.
You were a runner.
Yeah, I could run.
Yeah, you're a shirtless runner.
But it's boring.
No. Do you still run?
No.
When was the last time you went for a run?
I cut that from the budget. Can't afford it. I don't know.
Ballpark, 10 years?
49. Probably in my 30s. Hmm. Yeah, went for a run.
Someone on the Vancouver Ford text line, when I said that the most boring thing in the world is middle distance Olympic running, they said, shocker, offensive lineman doesn't like middle distance running.
Yeah.
Does anyone like, I'm being dead serious, can anyone get excited over a middle distance race?
More than I can about the long distance race.
I'm guessing middle distance racers.
That is true. Like you just, like if you're running like the 5 mile, whatever, like,
Olympic marathon, cool. I'm not tuning in. Let me know mile 26.
It's a valid point. I just find running in general as a spectator sport
not great.
It's hard for me to get on board. Sprints, yes. Like it's over in like 10 seconds. I get that. But just, oh. Like I just have to watch someone literally in a pack jog around the track like 16 times. And then I don't know. That just doesn't, it does absolutely nothing for me. None.
So here's somebody that's answering your question about why the airlines do it that way.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty simple answer. He says so that they fill the planes up. It's all data. So it's like, hey, let's go to Salt Lake on this because there'll be a lot of people that want to go from Salt Lake to Portland.
Yeah.
Therefore, we'll fill the plane. You know?
You can get people to go get off the plane in Seattle, fill more people on to go to Salt Lake, get more people off there.
But I guess I'm saying is just whenever you search for a flight, there's always a handful of options down at the bottom that I contend no human being has ever bought. Ever.
Okay. Well.
And so I don't know why they
should put you in charge.
I just don't know why they just don't put those options. No one's buying those under any circumstances.
A New Jersey man is facing an animal cruelty charge after allegedly beheading a seagull that was stealing his daughter's French fries.
Hey, man, don't screw with French fries.
Damn. 29-year-old Franklin Ziegler of Cape May has been charged.
Oh, he goes by Frank.
Francis.
Police said officers responded to an animal cruelty incident at Maury's Piers on Boardwalk Avenue July 6th. Witnesses reported that Ziegler had decapitated the seagull with his bare hands.
Look, I'm not going to lie. That seems a bit extreme. Like, I get, like, it's your daughter's fries, but it does seem a bit extreme to rip the head off.
Even if you're going to kick it, like, which I wouldn't endorse, but, like, you had to wrangle this thing.
I'm not going to lie. I'd kick it. Like,
and then rip the head off.
If I'm eating some fries and a seagull comes and tries to take them.
You can give that thing the boot.
I'm kicking a bird.
Well, aren't you just waving it away?
Like a little shooing action.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shoo.
Yeah, because I guess. Birds are weenies. Yeah, I'm not standing up and I'm not roundhousing it or anything.
And you're not going to get it if you do.
No.
It's going to fly. It's going to be like.
You're right. You're like,
good luck with that.
You bitch slap it. That's a backhand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just kind of shoo it.
Yeah, you shoo it away.
I thought that was universal.
You don't grab it.
He grabbed it and took its head off.
Rip it.
Was he on meth?
I don't know, man.
He's angry about fries.
But, look, can I also say, should that really be an animal cruelty charge?
Well, you are ripping the head off a live animal.
I know, but it's a pigeon. We don't care about pigeons.
That's true. But I don't think...
No, it's a seagull.
It's a seagull.
I mean, where do you draw the line?
Well,
that's right. Seagull, sorry.
I think we have telling you, we drew the line at seagull, crow, and pigeon. I'll tell you what, if this was
a blue jay,
now we're like, whoa, dude, hey.
Put that guy in prison.
Listen here, you son of a gun. But he did get the charge. Someone reported him. And that's the thing. It's one thing, like, you can wring its neck. You can't rip its head off.
Would you report somebody that you saw rip the head off of a seagull? Because I wouldn't.
Nah. I'd probably be like this. Jeez. Like,
whoa. you come and talk about it here the next day.
I'm out of here.
But can we take that down a notch or two?
They also said he was irate and uncooperative with officers.
Well, I mean, clearly, when you're ripping the head off something, I think irate probably comes into play.
I'm going to guess that it was not just about the seagull, and he had a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah, they're saying it was actually an unrelated investigation. So that opens a whole can of worms.
Oh, so they just tacked this on?
Yeah, further investigation resulted in an additional charge of third-degree animal cruelty. He was also hit with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
Yeah. My man's got some problems. We need to go to therapy and put mom on the back burner because we got some, got some new issues that we need to dig into for
a while. Do you think that would be hard to rip the head off of a seagull?
Nah.
Apparently not.
Nah. I mean,
I kind of do.
Birds are really, really small, and they got the little.
But,
I mean, they got hollow bones.
Seagulls aren't that small, and also, like, you still gotta like get the skin. I don't know. I mean, I think you could break its neck pretty easily, but removing the head from body, that seems hard.
That's weird.
I don't.
How does that happen?
And I don't want to find other. To be
just
fair,
pops right off.
Look.
Also, this bird couldn't fly away. Like when he tried to grab at it.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, somebody said they fought the bird for being caught.
There is an element to that.
I mean, the bird did not need to be caught. It had its wings.
I feel like if a bird gets
French fries, man.
I know. If a bird gets caught, I feel like you can fly, I can't fly. If I catch you,
you earned this.
You earned it. Yeah, I'm blaming the bird, but I do have in my trash right now. It's not a seagull, but I do have a decent sized star jay. We could see how
easy it to the test.
We could see how easy it is to rip the head off of that.
Get your gloves on, Sue.
You should do that.
Could you
do that? Like this is the hippie in me. I could not rip the head off of anything. Anything. Well, maybe buck, but
you think that'd be easy?
It is.
No.
It is disturbing to have to physically.
Yeah. Could you decapitate anything? I don't think I could do it.
It is dead. I mean,
Well, I know, but you would...
It died of natural causes.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Would you go home and do that?
No.
I mean, there's really no incentive to do it, so you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Radio content, that's incentive.
Radio content.
But, like, let's say I paid you a bunch of money.
Yeah, I could do it. I wouldn't want to. Well, I've told you the story about the cat in the rock, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most disturbing thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Your wife?
Yeah. We had my boxer, when I lived out in the country on acreage, he would catch things. He would chase rats, rodents, gophers, and there were a lot of cats out in the country. And he didn't know the difference. And he would bring them to the front door. And I didn't tell my wife that he would bring cats. And I would just throw the cat away in the trash. Or I would take it down to the mountain. Like, there was the big hill, and I would just throw it in the woods and be like, it's someone else.
Nature will take care of it.
Nature will take care of it. And one day, Apollo brought a little cat. And he had broken its neck, but the cat was still alive. But it couldn't move, and the head was completely the other way. But it was meowing, and it broke my heart. I was like, oh, my God. So everyone's freaking out. And so I got my gun. I was going to shoot it. And my wife lost it on me. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do?
Probably the most humane thing you can do.
Right? I'm going to put a bullet in it. And she just was freaking out. And so I was like, okay. And then I was like, I'll just break its neck further. Or I'll just grab the head and twist it and snap it.
Not better?
Not better. Lost it on me, screaming. And meanwhile, the cat is like... The cat's meowing, and it can't move, and my dog's still messing with it, and everyone's losing it. And so it was my wife's great plan to hit it with a rock. And I was like, how is that any better?
Not better than the gun.
I said, that's way worse. And she just was like, you are not shooting it. You're not breaking its neck. And so she settled on hitting it with a rock.
So crushing its skull was the best of the three.
That's what I said. So I went and found a big rock, like probably it's a two-handed rock. And let me tell you something. It didn't kill the cat. And it made it so much worse. I was so pissed. I screamed out. We're just yelling at each other. I'm cursing at her. She's cursing at me. And I'm like, you dumb son of blah, blah, blah. I just wanted, like, you do it. You know.
That's
rough. It was bad.
Did you shoot it?
No, I hit it with the rock like two more times.
Yeah.
And because I figured in that
height. That seems way more savage to
me. Well, I figured in the heightened state, the worst thing I could do is go get a gun. And it was, I mean, when I tell
you. And your wife's dead.
Yeah, when I tell you that thing caused like a 3-month rift in my marriage, and to this day, that haunts me. That is the worst thing.
Well,
that is the worst physical act I've ever had to do.
Who can do that?
Apparently
me. I couldn't have even done that.
Yeah, I had an issue. My dog just caught a rat once, and like, I don't care about rats, but the rat was still alive, also kind of paralyzed. Like, it was twitching, it was moving. I'm like, I'm going to have to kill this thing. And I was a teenager. I'm like, I don't know. So I called my dad at work. I'm like, what do I do with this thing? He's like, well, you can put it in a garbage bag and whack it against a tree. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. He's like, well, you can let it out of the bag, but then I guess if it starts moving again, you're going to have to catch it. Like, if you don't want to catch it, you're just going to have to bash it against that tree. And I'm like, all right. So twisted up the garbage bag and whacked it against the tree.
Terrible.
And that was the end of that.
Don't do it.
I don't really care about a rat, though.
I don't either as much, but I mean, even that didn't sit right. I'm like, the dog almost had it. Like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's a weird...
You can put it in a bag and just suffocate it.
Yeah.
Some people do that with, baby kittens that they don't
chew their way out.
The other one that I suggested in a very irrational argument between me and an angry Korean lady, I suggested that I drown it. I said, what if I got a bucket of water and I just put it in there?
That's also bad.
Well,
I just think shooting it...
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the first good idea.
Yes.
I mean, come on. It's quick. It's.
Yeah.
It's
I just... said, I'll put it in a bag. I'll put it in the hole and just one shot and it's over and it's done with and never know the difference.
I guess you could have thrown it in the woods like some of the dead ones. I mean.
Alive?
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We've lost Rob. Like, he may already be at Pebble Beach. Oh, there he is.
That'd be a little kid ass.
Well, he's only got like 20 minutes left before he's officially on vacation.
So, how far up your ass is your head?
It's a valid point.
My head is so far up my ass.
Don't get me wrong, I like the tatted up whore too.
I do. Hi.
Hi.
I was talking to Nemec.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like Andrew Nemec. He's a nice guy. He is.
I'm not doubting it.
Nice young man.
Yes, he is. I don't think he's that young anymore.
And somewhat, I don't know, he always seems so sad to me.
He does seem to have a lot going on.
There's a sadness to him.
Well, every time I talk to him, there's always, he's got drama.
He's always like, hey.
Well, he's got that Swaggart thing going on, so. Maybe him and Swag should get together and, like, have
Hold
beers.
Hold on, everybody.
And they can both do deep sighs.
Well, he's being cheered up right now by the great Luke Anderson, who just got back from a run because he's training for Hood to Coast.
Yeah, Luke's got, like, a Bill Walton thing happening for himself right now.
Yeah, he looks like a hippie.
Did he go headband? Is he headband?
Yeah, he's going headband.
Oh, yeah, he goes headband. He's got the long hair and the beard. And yeah, we got a Hood to Coast
team. Who's out there.
Yeah. Where's the Isaac Rupp Hood to Coast?
You will never catch me dead running that race.
Oops, you almost had one there.
That's tough. Running
they,
that race.
They used to run?
No. Oh,
I
run. Yeah, yeah.
You were a runner.
Yeah, I could run.
Yeah, you're a shirtless runner.
But it's boring.
No. Do you still run?
No.
When was the last time you went for a run?
I cut that from the budget. Can't afford it. I don't know.
Ballpark, 10 years?
49. Probably in my 30s. Yeah, went for a run.
Someone on the Vancouver Ford text line, when I said that the most boring thing in the world is middle distance Olympic run, and he said, shocker, offensive lineman doesn't like middle distance running.
Yeah.
Does anyone like, I'm being dead serious, can anyone get excited over a middle distance race?
More than I can about the long distance race.
I'm guessing middle distance racers.
That is true. Like you just, like if you're running like the 5 mile, whatever, like.
Olympic marathon, cool. I'm not tuning in. Let me know mile 26.
It's a valid point. I just find running in general as a spectator sport
not great.
It's hard for me to get on board. Sprints, yes, like it's over in like 10 seconds. I get that, but just oh, like I just have to watch someone literally in a pack jog around the track like 16 times, and then I don't know. That just doesn't It does absolutely nothing for me. None.
So here's somebody that's answering your question about why the airlines do it that way.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty simple answer. He says, so that they fill the planes up. It's all data. So it's like, hey, let's go to Salt Lake on this because there'll be a lot of people that want to go from Salt Lake to Portland.
Yeah.
Therefore, we'll fill the plane. You know?
You can get people to go get off the plane in Seattle, fill more people on to go to Salt Lake, get more people off there.
But I guess I'm saying is just whenever you search for a flight, there's always a handful of options down at the bottom that I contend no human being has ever bought. Ever.
Okay. Well.
And so I don't know why they
should put you in charge.
I just don't know why they just don't put those options. No one's buying those under any circumstances.
A New Jersey man is facing an animal cruelty charge after allegedly beheading a seagull that was stealing his daughter's French fries.
Hey, man, don't screw with French fries.
Damn. 29-year-old Franklin Ziegler of Cape May has been charged.
Oh, he goes by Frank.
Francis.
Police said officers responded to an animal cruelty incident at Maury's Piers on Boardwalk Avenue July 6th. Witnesses reported that Ziegler had decapitated the seagull with his bare hands.
Look, I'm not going to lie. That seems a bit extreme. Like, I get, like, it's your daughter's fries, but it does seem a bit extreme to rip the head off.
I mean, even if you're going to kick it, like, which I wouldn't endorse, but, like, you had to wrangle this thing.
I'm not going to lie. I'd kick it. Like,
and then rip the head off.
If I'm eating some fries and a seagull comes and tries to take them.
You can give that thing the boot.
I'm kicking a bird.
Well, aren't you just waving it away?
Yeah.
Like
a little shooing action.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shoo.
Yeah, because I guess.
Birds are weenies.
Yeah, I'm not standing up and I'm not roundhousing it or anything. That's
and you're not going to get it if you do.
No.
It's going to fly. It's going to be like.
You're right. You're like,
good luck with that.
You bitch slap it. That's a backhand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just kind of shoo it.
Yeah, you shoo it away.
I thought that was universal.
You don't grab it.
He grabbed it and took its head off.
Rip
its
head.
Was he on meth?
I don't know, man.
He's angry about fries.
But, look, can I also say, should that really be an animal cruelty charge?
Well, you are ripping the head off a live animal.
I know, but it's a pigeon. We don't care about pigeons.
That's true. But I don't think...
No, it's a seagull.
It's a seagull. It's
I mean, where difference. Do you draw the line?
Well,
that's right. Seagull, sorry.
I think we have telling you, we drew the line at seagull, crow, and pigeon. I'll tell you what, if this was
a blue jay,
now we're like, whoa,
dude,
hey.
Put that guy in prison.
Listen here, you son of a gun. But he did get the charge. Someone reported him. And that's the thing. It's one thing, like, you can wring its neck. You can't rip its head off.
Would you report somebody that you saw rip the head off of a seagull? Because I wouldn't.
Nah. I'd probably be like this. Jeez. Like,
whoa. You'd come and talk about it here the next day.
I'm out of here.
But can we take that down a notch or two?
They also said he was irate and uncooperative with officers.
Well, I mean, clearly, when you're ripping the head off something, I think irate probably comes into play.
I'm going to guess that it was not just about the seagull, and he had a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah, they're saying it was actually an unrelated investigation. So that opens a whole can of worms.
Oh, so they just tacked this on?
Yeah, further investigation resulted in an additional charge of third-degree animal cruelty. He was also hit with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest.
Yeah. My man's got some problems. We need to go to therapy and put mom on the back burner because we got some, you know, got some new issues that we need to dig into for
a while. So do you think that would be hard to rip the head off of a seagull?
Nah.
Apparently not.
Nah. I mean,
I kind of do.
Birds are really, really small, and they got the little.
But
I mean, they got hollow bones.
Seagulls aren't that small, and also, like, you still gotta like get the skin. I don't know. I mean, I think you could break its neck pretty easily, but removing the head from body, that seems hard.
That's weird.
I don't.
How does that happen?
And I don't want to find other. To be
just
fair,
pops right off.
Look.
Also, this bird couldn't fly away. Like when he tried to grab at it.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, somebody said they fault the bird for being caught.
There is an element to that.
I mean, the bird did not need to be caught. It had its wings.
I feel like if a bird gets
French fries, man.
I know. If a bird gets caught, I feel like you can fly, I can't fly. If I catch you,
you earned this.
You earned it. Yeah, I'm blaming the bird, but you know, I do have in my trash right now. It's not a seagull, but I do have a decent sized star jay. We could see how
put
easy
it to the test.
We could see how easy it is to rip the head off of that.
Get your gloves on, Sue.
You should do that.
Could you
do that? Like, this is the hippie in me. I could not rip the head off of anything. Anything. Well, maybe Buck, but.
You think that'd be easy?
It is.
No.
It is disturbing to have to physically.
Yeah. Could you decapitate anything?
Mm,
I don't think I could do it.
It is dead. I mean.
Well, I know, but you would.
It died of natural causes.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Would you go home and do that?
No.
I mean, there's really no incentive to do it, so you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Radio content, that's incentive.
Radio content.
But, like,
could
I say I paid you a bunch of money.
Yeah, I could do it. I wouldn't want to. Well, I've told you the story about the cat in the rock, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most disturbing thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Your wife?
Yeah. We had my boxer, when I lived out in the country on acreage, he would catch things. He would chase rats, rodents, gophers, and there were a lot of cats out in the country. And he didn't know the difference. And he would bring them to the front door. And I didn't tell my wife that he would bring cats. And I would just throw the cat away in the trash. Or I would take it down to the mountain. Like there was the big hill, and I would just throw it in the woods and be like, it's someone else.
Nature will take care of it.
Nature will take care of it. And one day, Apollo brought a little cat. And he had broken its neck, but the cat was still alive. But it couldn't move, and the head was completely the other way. But it was meowing, and it broke my heart. I was like, oh, my God. So everyone's freaking out. And so I got my gun. I was going to shoot it. And my wife lost it on me. And I was like, well, what do you want me to do?
Probably the most humane thing you can do.
Right? I'm going to put a bullet in it. And she just was freaking out. And so I was like, okay. And then I was like, I'll just break its neck further. Or I'll just grab the head and twist it and snap it.
Not better.
Lost it on me, screaming. And meanwhile, the cat is like... The cat's meowing, and it can't move, and my dog's still messing with it, and everyone's losing it. And so it was my wife's great plan to hit it with a rock. And I was like, how is that any better?
Not better than the gun.
I said, that's way worse. And she just was like, you are not shooting it. You're not breaking its neck. And so she settled on hitting it with
a
rock.
So crushing its skull was the best of the three.
That's what I said. So I got so I went and found a big rock, like probably it's a two-handed rock. And let me tell you something. It didn't kill the cat. And it made it so much worse. I was so pissed. I screamed out. We're just yelling at each other. I'm cursing at her. She's cursing at me. And I'm like, you dumb son of blah, blah, blah. I just wanted, like, you do it. You know.
That's
rough. It was bad.
Did you shoot it?
No, I hit it with the rock like two more times.
Yeah.
And because I figured in that
seems way more savage to
me. Well, I figured in the heightened state, the worst thing I could do is go get a gun. And it was, when I tell
you. And your wife's dead.
Yeah, when I tell you that that thing caused like a 3-month rift in my marriage, and to this day, that haunts me. That is the worst thing.
Well,
that is the worst physical act I've ever had to do.
Who can do that?
Apparently
me. I couldn't have even done that.
Yeah, I had an issue. My dog just caught a rat once, and like, I don't care about rats, but the rat was still alive, also kind of paralyzed. Like, it was twitching, it was moving. I'm like, I'm going to have to kill this thing. And I was a teenager. I'm like, I don't know. So I called my dad at work. I'm like, what do I do with this thing? He's like, well, you can put it in a garbage bag and whack it against a tree. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. He's like, well, you can let it out of the bag, but then I guess if it starts moving again, you're going to have to catch it. Like, if you don't want to catch it, you're just going to have to bash it against that tree. And I'm like, all right. So twisted up the garbage bag and whacked it against the tree.
It's
and
terrible.
That was the end of that.
Don't do it.
I don't really care about a rat, though.
I don't either as much, but I mean, even that didn't sit right. I'm like, the dog almost had it. Like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's a weird...
You can put it in a bag and just suffocate it.
Yeah.
Some people do that with, baby kittens that they don't
chew their way out.
The other one that I suggested in a very irrational argument between me and an angry Korean lady, I suggested that I drown it. I said, what if I got a bucket of water and I just put it in there?
That's also bad.
Well,
I just think shooting it...
Thank you.
That was by far the best.
Yes.
I mean, come on. It's quick. It's
I said, I'll put it in a bag. I'll put it in the hole and just one shot and it's over and it's done with and then never know the difference.
I guess you could have thrown it in the woods like some of the dead ones. I mean...
Alive?
The nature would take care of it. You wouldn't have to.
That's true.
Like leaving a lamb for the slaughter.
I'm like,
is it that cruel to leave it? I mean, it's going to die, right? So is that really that?
Apparently, yes. I'm not kidding when I say that is a top 5 fight.
Look at your meds.
That I've had in 16 years of marriage. Was over that stupid cat. Yes, my dominant New York Mets.
Jeff McNeil, man.
Dude, they can't be stopped. And someone's in says he hunts doves. Mm-hmm. And he does say that if the dove is not dead when you shoot it, you rip the head off. He said it is mercy, and he said the seagull's head would pop right off. So this is a guy that apparently, he rips the heads off doves, which, by the way, is not okay because a dove is not a garbage bird.
Gonna go blow some ducks?
Doves are pretty close to pigeons, though.
Well, doves are peace animals. We release doves at weddings.
But
no one releases pigeons.
Pigeons are just doves in street clothes.
Exactly. Mm. Pigeons are white trash doves.
Yeah, doves are the dressed up pigeon.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently this dude is claiming that if you shoot a dove and it doesn't die, you...
Is there a lot of dove shooting going on?
You rip the head off.
Yeah, people hunt.
Why rip the... I guess you just twist the head and then the head does pop off.
Seems like a weird bird to hunt, though.
Yeah, you just grab it and ring
its
neck.
It just
pops right off. By the way, to the person saying, if you wouldn't do it to a dog, you shouldn't do it to a cat, own both. I would have done the same thing to the dog. I would have shot the dog.
That's what they did to Old Yeller.
The correct answer
to it. Why is he saying that if you wouldn't do... Did you once say that you wouldn't do that to a dog?
No. I would 100% do the same
thing. The person is assuming that he doesn't have feelings for cats the way you would for dogs. But
when you live out in the country, unfortunately, I had to do this a handful of times. Like where you find a deer that has been run over and its legs are completely shattered. And if you see it, that happened maybe... I lived out in the country for 10 years. I'd say there was probably 6 or 7 times that I had to go get a gun, go out and shoot an animal that was, incapacitated. And that's what you do. And then you drag it off into the brush and, you leave it. But apparently, if your wife's there... That's not an answer. So you better believe that no other time in my marriage did I let her know that anything was being shot. All that was done under the cover of darkness or she's not around.
All right, we'll wrap it up next on The Fan. All right, coming up next is recruiting with Andrew Nemec. He is fresh off of a haircut. He does not have long hair anymore. He doesn't have his ponytail anymore.
The man bun is no more.
Nope. So I will be out golfing. This weekend?
Me too.
Checking off the bucket list item of Rose City Golf Course.
Pretty excited. We'll basically be the same.
Pretty excited about it. I mean, basically, we're doing the same thing.
Well, we are doing the same activity. I'm paying a lot more than you are, though.
It's $29.
It is not $29 at Pebble Beach. I can tell you that. But
enjoy. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to do it. Going with the Northwest Golf guys. Travis and all those guys do a good job. So
shout out to the golf bros.
It'll be fun. I'll be back on Tuesday. Big Sook back tomorrow. He's going to ask Joey Harrington live on the air how much he has invested in the Portland Thorns.
I'm going to tell him that you are asking that.
Yes, I am asking that. As a matter of fact, I will text and ask him.
Good luck getting that answer.
That's tomorrow, 3 to 7. Nemec is next on The Fan. Good night. Turning all the nighttime into the day. Do the song about a single love and more. Do the song about the night. And do the walk. Do the walk all night. And do the walk all night. Friendships of Spain. Friendships of All right, coming up next is recruiting with Andrew Nemec. He is fresh off of a haircut. He does not have long hair anymore. He doesn't have his ponytail anymore.
The man bun is no more.
Nope. So I will be out golfing this weekend.
Me too.
Checking off the bucket list item of Rose City Golf Course.
Pretty excited. We'll basically be the same.
Pretty excited about it. I mean, basically, we're doing the same thing.
Well, we are doing the same activity. I'm paying a lot more than you are, though.
It's $29.
It is not $29 at Pebble Beach. I can tell you that. But
enjoy. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to do it. Going with the Northwest Golf guys. Travis and all those guys do a good job. So
shout out to the golf bros.
It'll be fun. I'll be back on Tuesday. Big Sook back tomorrow. He's going to ask Joey Harrington live on the air how much he has invested in the Portland Thorns.
I'm going to tell him that you are asking that.
Yes, I am asking that. As a matter of fact, I will text and ask him.
Good luck getting that answer.
That's tomorrow, 3 to 7. Nemec is next on The Fan. Good night. All about a single love and more. And do the song about the night.
walk of life. You need to do the walk of life.
Red ships of Spain. Red ships of Spain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.